is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
When I say the word risk and I say the word love, what do you think? Do you think those two words go together at all? Or do you live most of your life thinking, I want to eliminate risk, reduce it, eradicate it, get rid of all risk if I could, but I also want to experience real, robust love? We're going to talk about how these two words actually go together when you learn what you need to know about love from the Bible. You're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bigney, and we are digging into what do we need to do to take our marriages from barely alive or just trying to survive to a place that would begin to thrive? We'll never be perfect. No way. But oh, God wanted for our marriages to flourish, to thrive, to not constantly seem like we're just stuck spinning our wheels. And so what you find in the Bible that is so often the case, it's counterintuitive. The things that we cling to so often and say, I have to have this, I have to have it this way, I have to have this, turn out to be some of the things that are actually keeping us from experiencing what we want. And when we say, don't ever want that, don't want any of that, can't go there, won't do that, that unwillingness to step towards that is sometimes what is keeping you from tasting and experiencing what you actually long for the most. Oh, when you turn to God's word, you see that there is an essential correlation between risk and real love. Let's talk about it. I know it's a risk to be open and giving and loving with any human being, but particularly your mate who lives with you at close range, who sees you, all the flaws, all the faults, all the inconsistencies and weaknesses and things that no one else knows, they see up close. And so if you're not careful, you begin to pull back and want to protect and to guard. Oh, this is a factor as to why we do not experience real intimacy. The reason we're afraid of this risk is because of one of man's oldest problems. This fear of risk and this desire to protect and guard and hide, did you realize it's actually rooted in an age-old sin? All the way back to the garden. One of our oldest problems that we struggle with is fear. Fear of rejection and the protection of self. And it started in the garden when sin erupted. Well, I hope you're hearing in the show already how often God's word actually gives us insights. This is not some dusty, antiquated book that is irrelevant for today now that we have such technological advances. Oh no, the Bible has so much insight and life-changing truth for us, including origins. We're actually going to look at that book of Genesis again because it gives us origins as to why are we the way we are and what is this problem we keep bumping into. You see, fear began in the Garden of Eden with the very first sin. Think about it. Adam and Eve, God placed them in the garden, paradise. They had everything they could want for. Oh, everything was going perfect. They had everything they needed for a wonderful relationship. No physical defects. Imagine that. No reason to cover up. Adam had that perfect flat six-pack ab without even a gymnasium. Don't you hate him, guys? They had no physical defects. She was a perfect 10. He was a perfect 10. Oh, but there's more. There was no sickness. There were no children crying, no in-laws, no bills, no clothes. Everything you need for a great marriage. So, what happened? Well, you need to understand that when sin broke in, when Adam and Eve chose to sin, they chose to reject God's good ways. When they chose to sin, fear came in. sin brings fear. Fear began to wreak havoc on every level of relationships. It began to wreak havoc on their horizontal relationship with each other and their vertical relationship with God. It brought a new fear factor that has been affecting human beings and relationships, and especially marriage, ever since. Listen to what Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 to 10 tell us. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig. It never bothered them before. But you see, now sin brought fear that brought shame and the desire to cover up. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. They'd never done that before. They'd always run to meet God and to walk with him. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Oh, there's so much that's packed into those four verses that inform us and frame up where we are today. I hope you realize circumstances can change. Technological advances can be made. Medicine, science, travel, you name it. But there are things about us that have not changed. And this is one of them. Fear factor. Sin brought with it fear and shame. You can see the word hide is used twice in those verses. Afraid. They were afraid and they hid. Sin produced the first ungodly fear. Never before had Adam and Eve hid themselves when God came to walk in the garden, but sin had separated them from God and from each other because it produces alienation, brokenness, and fear. The sin that first erupted in the garden with Adam and Eve has deeply affected our relationships today. Every human being is born a sinner, which means they're born with this fear factor of being exposed, being vulnerable, being found out. In other words, sin produces fear and shame and cover-up. Oh, this past weekend, I celebrated and had the opportunity to experience one of the greatest joys in all of life. Vicky and I have 5 kids, and we're headed into that season of grandparenting now. And our oldest daughter had her first child, a little baby girl. And so we were in St. Louis for me to visit and introduce myself to this granddaughter for the first time. And it was as good as it ever is. I mean, that new baby smell, those tiny little cries. Oh, just to hold that little girl and kiss her in the neck. But I tell you what you need to realize from God's word, from Genesis chapter 3, is that she will not learn to be fearful. Oh, there'll be occasions, there'll be people who will let her down, there'll be reasons this factor will be exacerbated, but she is born already a sinner with a fear and shame of being known, of being found out, of being rejected. There'll be a natural tendency to hide, to pull back. We're born with this now. And the Bible teaches this in Genesis chapter 3 that helps us so much to understand. So often we're so quick to think, what is going on? I need to change circumstances. I need different circumstances. And you may. But I tell you, one of the biggest helps is when you begin to realize God's word tells me it's what's going on inside me that is the biggest factor, long before things outside me and around me begin to affect me. Because the way I respond to what is around me and my circumstances is driven by what's going on inside me. And so there is this universal human tendency and drive now to protect, to pull back, to hide, to guard. We have fear and shame. And the Bible tells it to us. And I love it. Every now and then our world will finally raise their hand and begin to contradict what is being said, the drum that is being beat. Because, you know, the drum that's beat in our culture over and over is like, oh, be invulnerable, show no weakness, reveal no weakness, just charge ahead and look strong all the time. That's the way to live. Brené Brown, Professor Brené Brown, gave a TED talk in 2010. That's been a long time ago now. That thing has blown up. She gave a TED talk that was titled The Power of Vulnerability. It has been watched 66 million times now. And her basic thesis is that pretending to be invulnerable, trying to pretend that I am always strong, invincible, have no weaknesses, will fail you and will produce a life that is suffocated by fear and shame. She goes on to say that the only way to find robust real life is by being more open, more honest, and more realistic about our struggles and limits so that we can experience a sense of wholeness. In other words, the way to wholeness is to admit brokenness, is to admit weakness, and to admit fear. But oh, we're wired to hide, to guard, to pretend, and to protect. It's not natural to risk. And yet, love, biblical love, not the love that you find sung about in a country music song, biblical love is giving to the needs of another with their best interest in mind, expecting nothing in return. Whew! Does that sound like a risk? Absolutely. But it matches the kind of love that God gives us. Giving, 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 which by nature and definition puts you at risk. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to lead you through a passage that really frames this up and unpacks some of what's going on with risk and fear and shame that gets in the way of real love.
And we'll be back with more from Pastor Brad Bigney in just a second. And you know what kind of blew me away about what he's talking about today? It was the part about how we're all born with this fear of being found out. And it made me think about one of our resources available in the Fortis store, When People Are Big and God Is Small by Ed Welch. Man, talk about hitting the nail on the head. Dr. Welch gets right to the heart of why we're so terrified of what others think about us and why we continue to put up walls. This isn't just another self-help book. It's about finding freedom from that constant fear by seeing God is bigger than other people. It's When People Are Big and God is Small by Ed Welch, and it's available right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of fear and vulnerability, Fortis Institute, we have stepped out in faith right now. That's what we're doing. In this cultural moment where biblical truth is not exactly winning popularity contests, we decided we're not going to play it safe anymore. We brought together 8 new voices to walk right alongside Todd to create content that speaks into this brave new world we're living in. And it's all free. That's right. As much content as we're creating it absolutely free. You can watch it. You can listen to it right now on Fortis Plus. You can download the Fortis Plus app onto your mobile device and access all of the content that we're creating. As a matter of fact, it's 7 new pieces of content every day. And inside Fortis Plus, there are hundreds of hours of content already loaded. So download Fortis Plus, access it right now at fortisplus.org. And here's what I want you to think about as you're viewing our content. We can't give all of the stuff that we're giving away for free without you. We need gospel partners just like you who understand exactly what's at stake. Like Pastor Brad's talking about the risk that comes with real love. Well, that's kind of what gospel partnership's about. That's what it's like. It's saying, yeah, I'm all in. I believe what you're doing matters. And when someone becomes a gospel partner with us here at Fortis Institute, you're not just helping keep the lights on around here. We do appreciate that, but what you're doing is you're investing in marriages being restored. You're helping equip believers to stand firm when the culture's pushing so hard the other way. And I'll be real with you. I'll be straight with you. We're not able to do it without you. Your partnership gives us the foundation that we need to continue creating biblical resources that meet people right where they are. So would you pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? We know you have questions. I know you do. I know you have questions that I can't possibly answer right now, but you can find answers to those questions at fortisinstitute.org. And now let's get back to Pastor Brad Bigney. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, we're talking about 2 words that we don't usually put together, risk and love. But the Bible does put them together. Most people want intimacy and closeness and are frustrated when they don't get it, but few people including Christians, are willing to pay the price and risk that is necessary to reach the level of intimacy that they long for in their relationships, especially in marriage. And you might be saying, well, what's the big deal, Brad? I'm just a private person. Or I've been hurt by my parents. I've been hurt by best friends. I've been let down by people. And so now I'm determined not to get hurt again. Oh, listen to me. If your goal is to never get hurt again, you will also probably never experience real, intimate love again. Love, by its very definition and nature, entails some risk. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 is a powerful verse that really, really gives us some idea of what's going on here. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Perfect is not sinless. It's talking about robust, grown up, mature love, not infatuation, not I love how you make me feel. Real love, perfect love, casts out fear. I hope the other thing you're starting to hear in our episodes is how God's word is not all about stop. Stop that. God's word is all about put off and put on. The best way to not be stepping in and doing what is destructive is to be leaning into what he calls us to do. And so love and fear are actually the opposites in the Bible. If we played a word association game on the street and I just grabbed people on the street and said, I'm going to give you a word, you tell me the opposite. I say love, 99% of the people would say hate, love and hate, love and hate. The Bible actually says love and fear are the opposites. And here's why. If biblical love is giving, leaning in, risking, moving towards you, opening myself up, then think about the opposite of that. If that's love, fear causes you to pull back, shut down, protect, pretend, guard, be careful, be cautious. It is the opposite of love. I love to say to my counselees, wherever you are eaten up with fear. So I try to help them determine and examine and pinpoint areas of fear in the relationship. Because I'll say, wherever you are driven by fear, you cannot be loving. It's the opposite. So identifying fear and pushing past those fears will enable you to begin to love in ways you had not been loving. Perfect, mature love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. The Message paraphrase puts it this way, there is no room in love for fear. You hear that? That's what I was saying. Love pushes out fear as you're just filled with love and you give and you risk and you open up and you move towards. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, think about it. Think about the times in your life you've been eaten up with or paralyzed, crippled by fear. It almost always had to do with other people, what they would do, how they would respond, what they think of you, how they would perceive you if they knew you. Crippling, crippling. A fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. When you turn to the Bible, the opposite of fear is not courage, but love, which is why being convinced of God's love for you is a game changer. You say, how am I gonna risk like this? Like, what if I don't get back all that I'm giving? What if I get hurt? Oh, those are great questions that has one incredible answer. I can risk loving another human being, starting with my spouse who lives closest with me, as I am overwhelmed by and convinced of and delighting in and soaking in God's love for me. That vertical relationship of my relationship with God, knowing that he loves me, is what enables me to risk loving other people and extending that same love out to others. It's a game changer. Which is why our enemy works so relentlessly to keep people, including Christians, unsure and uncertain of God's love for you. You see, there is a huge difference between believing the Bible says God loves you. Yeah, the Bible says that. And owning it. You own it. You know it. You experience it. You delight in it. You're convinced of it, that you're accepted, that you're forgiven, that you are loved, that you're an adopted son or daughter. He brought you into the family, that God the Father absolutely loves me. Oh, one of the best things you could do for your marriage is not start a new hobby together, is not plan an amazing vacation, is not maybe have another baby together. Any number of things that people try to do to jumpstart their marriage relationship. You know what one of the best things you could do is become convinced of God's love for you, that He absolutely loves you. Because you will begin to rest in that, have security in that, and from that position, you will be able to risk loving someone else and opening up and giving and being known. In fact, I want you to know, if you don't know this, the Bible doesn't just talk about, when you hear the word Father and you think, well, does God the Father love me? Some of you think, oh yeah, when I think Father, I think cold, stoic, stern, harsh. He never said He was proud of me, never said He loved me. He was not comfortable with affection. That's my concept of Father. Well, if that's your concept of Father and you're basing it on an earthly father that was like that, I want you to know, banish that thought, because God the Father, in fact, loves us in a tender, personal way. In Romans chapter 8, and also in Galatians 4, God's word actually uses a word for father that means daddy, papa. It was intimate. It was dear. You find it in Romans 8, where it says, Abba, Father. That the Holy Spirit living in us confirms and affirms and resonates that you can call Him Abba, Father, which meant daddy, which meant papa. Oh, it was a dear, intimate term. That's what God wants for you, because that's when you will be able to risk loving others. Oh, when you begin to be convinced of God's love for you, it pushes out fear, because those two things cannot rule the throne of your heart at the same time. Oh, fear and love cannot rule on the throne of your heart at the same time. They can't share that throne together, because the love of God, when it comes sweeping in, and I realize this is hard to get a hold of, which is why it's worth noting, when Paul prays for believers, you read the prayers of Paul's in the New Testament letters, and when he exhorts them, it so often comes back to, oh, I pray that you would know, think about Ephesians 3, that you would know the love of God that surpasses knowledge, that you would be grounded and rooted in love, to know the height and depth and width and breadth of love. You can see Paul's almost running out of words to try to get you to fathom and get a hold of, this is God's love for you. And then his letters often went on to talk about how we can get along better with others and what God wants us to do. But the starting point is knowing, being overwhelmed by his love for you. That is what frees you to risk loving someone else. When his love begins to saturate your heart and spill down into the ugly crevices and crannies and insecurities of your sinful, shameful past or your troubled present, when it plunges down into the stairwell of your deepest, darkest places and says, I already know all of this, and I died for it, and I love you with a perfect love that was meant to set you free from all of this, because this no longer defines you. When I see you, I don't see this. And it's not even what I think of you when I think of you. And I think of you often. See, God the Father, Daddy, Papa, sees us in His Son Christ, which is why the Apostle Paul said 35 times in the little book of Ephesians, you're in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Because of that, God the Father loves you, and His love does not vacillate on again, off again, near, pulled back, hot, white hot and then cool down. Nope. Because it's based on his son, Jesus Christ. It doesn't change. Hebrews tells us Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's love for you remains the same because God's son does not change. Oh, we're talking about how your marriage could begin to thrive. And part of it is knowing God loves you so that you could risk loving someone else, giving to someone else, allowing someone else to know you.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.